U.S. v. Askew, appeal number 092846. Mr. Kantsmeyer? Good morning. Barely.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Hansmeyer. I'm an attorney with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Kenneth Askew, in this appeal. There's one issue in this appeal, whether a conviction under Minnesota statute, it's 609-487, subdivision 3, whether that's a crime of violence under the guidelines. The Eighth Circuit has held that it is not. We ask this court to follow the Eighth Circuit's lead. The case is United States v. Tyler. We do so not out of blind adherence, though, but because Tyler is correct. Now, I'm sure this court is aware that there's quite a split in the circuits on this vehicular flight issue. And this court has sort of taken sides already. But I want to put the conflict and all that case law to the side for a minute and discuss this statute and why a proper application of the categorical approach is dispositive in our favor, why a subdivision 3 conviction cannot possibly be a crime of violence. Now, if you look at the statute, there's six subdivisions, three are relevant. The first defines fleeing. It does so in a number of ways: increased speed, extinguishing lights, refusal to stop. Then there's its own residual clause, if you will, where it says you use other means with intent to attempt to elude a peace officer. Well, what that means is that to flee in Minnesota, it doesn't matter what you do. If you intend it to be flight, you can do anything. You can park your car sideways so a cop can't see your license plate. And pull into your neighbor's driveway instead of your own. If you do that with intent to flee, to elude an officer, you just committed a fleeing violation under Minnesota law. Now, to think that that is a violent felony is absurd, basically. But that's not the dispositive issue in this appeal, although one could argue it is. And I'm not going to rely on that as dispositive, because you could make the argument that that portion, that definition of flight, is further divisible. If you do that, then you're just talking about a remand to the district court to determine whether this other means provision applies in this case. What is dispositive is subdivision 3 and subdivision 4. Now, subdivision 3 is your flight statute. Whoever knowingly flees an officer is guilty of a felony. You know, you can be punished to up to 3 years and a day, $5,000 fine, or both. Contrast that with subdivision 4. Subdivision 4 is fleeing, same definition of fleeing, same conduct, but it's fleeing that results in death or, I quote, any bodily injury to any person other than the perpetrator. Any bodily injury. What that means under Minnesota law is that if you flee and you cause any bodily injury to anybody else, you have not committed a subdivision 3 violation. You have committed a subdivision 4 violation. Now, that's dispositive in this case because of the residual clause plain language. The residual clause says conduct, prior conviction, is a violent felony if it involves conduct that creates serious potential risk of physical injury to another.
Risk enough, or does it have to have some consequence?
Excuse me?
Risk.
Risk.
Yeah,
well,
it's risk enough,
right.
or do you have to run into somebody?
Well, it's risk of physical injury.
Right, but anytime somebody's speeding, being chased,
okay,
doing things.
You're right, there is a risk of physical injury. But under subdivision 3, there really isn't, because if physical injury results, it is now a subdivision 4 violation. So there is no risk of physical injury on a subdivision 3 violation. In no instance can a subdivision 3 violation cause physical injury. Not one. because as soon as it does, it's a subdivision 4 violation. Now, and I think that's when you talk about risk and you think flight, I mean, yeah, that sounds risky. But when you look at how this statute is divisible, I mean, and you refer to what risk the statute requires, physical injury. You know, if it was risk of disrupting traffic or risk of fear in other drivers or risk of annoyance, I don't know. If it was something other than physical injury, then, yeah, you could make the argument. But that's what it is. It's a risk of physical injury. And under this statute, if there is injury, it's subdivision 4. If there's not, it's subdivision 3. That's dispositive in our favor. And it is impossible to say a subdivision 3 violation creates a risk of physical injury. It just does not, by definition. We cited Minnesota case law the last 15 years supporting that. I mean, subdivision 3 violations do not result in injury. They just don't. And that's obviously because of the statutory division. Now, you know, these other cases, you know, on this Wisconsin statute and this Indiana statute, there are cases, those cases, the attorneys in those cases didn't present this argument because those statutes are very similar to this statute, and it creates a problem because, I mean, essentially Spell, Sykes, Dismuke, they're wrong. Those cases were wrongly decided, and they're wrongly decided for what I just said. Those cases also involve divisible statutes based on results. And in each case, those cases also involve the lesser form of flight. And in each of those cases, if you look at the entire statute as a whole, it's not even close. I mean, the cases are wrongly decided. They just are. So it's our position that at some point, this court is going to need to correct itself, to realize that when a state legislature defines conduct in this manner, like Minnesota did, like Indiana did, like Wisconsin did, where you can put conduct into one subdivision or the other based on what happens in terms of injury, that's dispositive. The analysis is done for you by the state legislature. I mean, it's an objective analysis. There's no need to ask subjectively what we think is risky. So we would ask this court to remand.
Thank you, Mr. Hansmeier. And government, Mr. Jarosz, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Judge Easterbrook is actually the only one that pronounces it technically correct. It's actually Jarosz, but I never correct anybody because I take whatever they'll say. If it pleases the court, the real issue here is slightly different than what the defense counsel stated. The real issue is whether the district court committed plain error in finding that the crime in question was a crime of violence. Because in this case, the defense never objected to the characterization of the crime and never objected to the award or the classification of it. And at the time the district court ruled, there is already Housie, Spells, and Jennings that are all saying that the fleeing statute presents such a risk. So as an initial matter, although ultimately this court may get to the issue of whether or not the Minnesota statute is a crime of violence, which when the government believes it does, and I'll get to that in a moment, the first issue is, could this have been plain, clear, and obvious error? And government respectfully submits that in no way could the district court, under that state of law, have committed plain, clear, or obvious error. And on the standard review alone, this court should affirm the district court. Getting to the questions raised, the issue, of course, is under the residual clause whether or not this crime fits in both similar in kind and degree of risk noted. And as the defense concedes in their brief, the initial issue of whether or not they don't concede the degree of risk involved, but the degree of risk involved is the same sort of conduct that we'd see enumerated in those other crimes. In other words, you have an act of defiance by an individual refusing to obey a police officer. He then initiates a pursuit, which causes a chain reaction, resulting ultimately perhaps in a face-to-face confrontation with the officer once the pursuit ends. When you take that sort of degree of risk, you next have to ask yourself whether it's similar in kind to the enumerated offenses. Is this a type of offense that's similar in kind? And there we're looking at whether it's purposeful, violent, and aggressive conduct. Purposeful relates to the intent. The intent being, was this intentional crime or was this some sort of reckless behavior? And the statute, Minnesota statute, is clear that it is with the intent to elude. It's a specific intent crime, knowing, and there really isn't a dispute about whether or not the crime fits that aspect. The dispute really comes about from the defense standpoint of whether or not this is aggressive and violent behavior or conduct such that it's similar to those enumerated crimes.
Well, the threat and the risk alone should be enough then. Is that it? That just obviously just eluding, it's not some deceptive thing. This is somebody takes off, tries to get away. That's his intent. But in the process, because of the threat and risk that it presents, is that enough?
Well, and it would be because of the kind of conduct that occurs from there. I think in all due respect, you have to put those hand in hand, because the intent to elude, when it's coupled with the other type of conduct enumerated in the statute, creates that sort of risk and danger. If a person turns off their lights, but they're not doing it with the intent to elude, obviously that standing alone could be dangerous, of course, but when you say it's with the intent to elude, then you're getting at that sort of dangerous conduct. And that's really what pushes us over into a crime of violence. The defense brought up 2 points. One is that he's saying that based on the reading of the statute, virtually anything's possible because there's this language in there that says by other means. First of all, the crime has to occur. It's sui generis. It's relating to the already enumerated acts. It has to somehow relate to that. It can't just be by any means. It also has to be by a vehicle. And so there's only a few sort of things that can be done with the vehicle, not exhausted by that list, but all of them are inherently dangerous because they all would involve dangerous driving. And as a result, that sort of risk is exactly the sort of risk that you would see, if not greater, than the enumerated crimes in the residual clause. The second point that the defendant made in oral argument here is that the crime itself, the subdivision 4 crime that enumerates sort of a different crime in the Minnesota statute when bodily injury or death occurs, is exactly what you were bringing up, Judge Mannion. It is not the residual clause in the guidelines is not a result-oriented item in the sense that something has to occur. The issue is whether it creates a risk. And the potential risk of a serious physical injury is what happens when somebody's fleeing down the street and fleeing from a police officer. So the mere fact that there is indeed a separate offense when a terrible event happens doesn't mean that those other types of events aren't also creating this sort of substantial risk. The government would ask that the court affirm the district court's judgment of conviction. And if there are no further questions, I'll sit down.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. How much time? 3 minutes.
You know, this idea of this results-oriented idea, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's a result-oriented, that in every case to prove a prior conviction is a violent felony, I'm not saying in every case there has to be injury. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the inverse. In this case, in every case under this statute, there is no injury. That's my point. My point is that when you're talking about a risk of physical injury and you have a statute that is divisible in terms of injury, then the lesser flight cannot involve a risk of injury because there is no possibility of injury resulting. That's what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that, you know, if this were a general flight statute where it wasn't divisible based on results, then you could, you know, the government's argument makes sense. You can have flight that causes injury. There's a risk there. But not under this statute. When you have a statute that says any bodily injury is a subdivision 4 violation, when it's any bodily injury, that's what it says, any bodily injury. Okay, that means necessarily a subdivision 3 violation involves no injury. If it involves no injury, there can be no risk of injury. Are there risks of other things? Sure. But that's not the analysis. Plain air review. One case, Chambers v. United States. Okay. You know, take a look at Judge Posner's decision in this court in Chambers. You know, he said essentially, you know, basically saying we got this wrong, but we can't do anything about it. And he talks in there about conjecture, about all these opinions about escape. You know, these escape is always dangerous. And he talks about that's based on conjecture. That's what he says. And he says, you know, there needs to be statistics. There needs to be, you know, analysis of this. And he was right. Chambers went to the Supreme Court, and they unanimously said, you know, the courts of appeals are doing this wrong. That's what they said. All escapes are not violent felonies. But this court hasn't learned from that. This court in the flight context is saying all flights are violent felonies. That's what you're saying. It's not true. The Supreme Court has told us it's not true. So we would ask this court to take heed from what the Supreme Court said in Chambers, to realize that it's going down the same path, that there are certain flights defined in these state statutes that are not risky. They're just not. Now, are there flights that are risky? Sure. You know, under Minnesota law, that's subdivision 4.
Well,
can that be a violent felony?
Somebody's injured, subdivision 4.
Right.
And you say as long as there's not injury, you could have the same risk. One somebody ran the light was red and he went through it and hit somebody, and another one he was red and went through and didn't hit somebody. And
right.
That's the difference.
That is the difference, right. as the statute is set forth, because the question is risk of physical injury. And the same conduct that creates that, if there's injury, it falls into subdivision 4. If there's not, it falls into subdivision 3. Your task is done. I mean, subdivision 3 is not a violent felony. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to both counsel. And this case will also be taken under advisement.